Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Open your Bibles this morning to the book of Proverbs, chapter 14. We're going to look at a different text than what is in your bulletin this morning. We're going to look at Matthew and Malachi next week. I think all of us, when you stand at the altar on your wedding day, or for those who are singles, you're looking for a romance that is going to last well into your golden years. Very few people, when they're standing before the minister at the altar, are thinking, I'm going to get a divorce someday. I can't wait to lose this person. I mean, if you're thinking that, you should not be standing at the altar. Most of us, when we're thinking there, we're thinking of a life filled with happiness and bliss and wonder. This morning, as we continue our series on It's Complicated, Love, Sex, Dating, and Marriage, we want to talk about preparing for marriage before you say, I do. Before you say, I do. Now, for those that are new with us, I just want to recap a few moments. If you haven't found your Bibles in Proverbs 14, go ahead and flip there. We started out a few weeks ago, we talked about the Jerry Maguire myth. We've kind of been focusing on singles, wanting our singles to really realize how God has treated them unique and special. And the Jerry Maguire myth says, what does it say? You complete me. It's the myth that says if you're single and you don't have a special someone in your life, that you are not complete, you are not whole. You can't have a satisfied, fulfilled life. And we talked about how there is no perfect person, no one will complete you, no one will satisfy you, that only Jesus completes you. The Bible says we are complete in Him. When we passionately pursue a relationship with Christ, that's where meaning and fullness come from. The second week, we focused on biblically honoring women. We mentioned how our culture treats women like products, just to be used for their own enjoyment and then discarded when the next best thing comes along. But God wants us to honor women, not just our wives, but all women. And we learned how we can do that, whether we're single or married. How do we honor women? And also, as ladies, we talked about how do we honor ourselves so we can be women of honor. Week three, last week, we talked about sex. Now, some people noted that my wife wasn't in service last Sunday. She was in the nursery. I let them know that. She didn't plan that. That's just how the schedule worked out. But I made sure she listened to the podcast so she heard about the sex talk, okay? Last week, when we talked about sex, we said that sex is not just a physical thing. One of the things that, as Paul talked about in Corinthians, one of the myths that was going around is that sex is just a physical thing. You can engage in it. It's not spiritual. It doesn't impact anything else. And Paul says, yes, it is spiritual. It engages the whole person. God intended sex to be reserved for the oneness process in marriage. It's not to be engaged with any Tom, Dick, or Harriet. It is just for one man, one woman for life. And that was God's plan for marriage. We also said that sex wasn't dirty, but it's to be a regular, joyful part of marriage. Boy, all you married couples, that was a good place for an amen. It was quiet last week. Yes, it was very quiet. But God has ordained sex, and sex is good. We said that it's like a car. A car is a wonderful vehicle. It can take you to the mountains, to the valleys, to the canyons. You can go incredible places, to beautiful beaches. And if you keep the car in the right lane, and you don't drive it on the street, on the sidewalk, through someone's house, it is a beautiful tool that will enhance your life. But if you take it off-road, it's destructive and deadly. God has given us sex. When it's driven on the road of marriage, it is beautiful and wonderful. But when we take it outside of marriage, then it becomes deadly and destructive. This week, I want to talk about preparing for marriage. What do we need to do? One of the biggest things I hear is, Craig, how do I know the right person to marry? Okay, it's like we want a checklist. We want a formula, okay? There's two focuses we need to have when we're preparing for marriage. I want us to look at Proverbs 14:8 because this gives us some good insight. It says the wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways. The wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways. Now, if I give thought to my ways, that means I am examining and evaluating my past, what I've done in the past. It also means I am examining what other people have done and what other people are doing right now. And so when you are looking for the right person to marry, we need to have two focuses. If you're taking notes in your bulletin this morning, focus number one, we need to focus on past behavior. What has been the past behavior of this person that I'm interested in? This person that I maybe want to get to know, this person that I'm dating? Because past behavior is the best indicator of future behavior. Now, if you're single, this applies to you, but if you're not single, if you're married, I want you to be taking notes, because these are things you need to be sharing with your children. We need to be equipping our kids, and some of us, our grandkids, if we're raising our grandkids, we need to be equipping our kids, the next generation, so they can be ready for marriage. But I guarantee there's going to be some things I share today that are going to hit us as marrieds too. So the first thing is I need to look at the past behavior. Look at their values. Well, look at their spiritual disciplines. How consistent are they in Bible reading, in prayer, in coming to church, in being involved in ministry, in relationships in the body? Look at their financial disciplines. Do they overspend? Are they always in problems financially? Look at their conversations. Look at their attitudes. Are they passionate for Jesus, or are you dragging them to church? Is it hit the ball and drag Charlie? Hit the ball and drag Charlie. Instead, you want someone who's running after Jesus. Look at their past behavior. If you have to drag them to church and drag them into spiritual things now, when you get married, you will be dragging them in spiritual things then. Because this is the thing. In marriage, what they're doing now only escalates. When you're dating, you always put the best foot forward. I mean, you think about it. They never see you get angry. You're always kind and sweet and nice. I remember when I was in college, there was different girls, and there's some girls, when you're talking to them, they're so nice to you, but maybe you'd see them somewhere else talking to another girl, and you talk about being catty. Row! I mean, it's like the claws came. I was like, whoa. When she gets ticked off, look out, okay? When you're in a dating relationship, the best foot is always forward. And so you're looking through rose-colored glasses and everything looks great. What they're doing now is escalated in marriage. So look at the little things. How do they treat their parents? How do they treat someone in authority? How do they treat people that are might be viewed as weaker as them? Someone who's a lower prominence. How do they treat waiters and waitresses in restaurants? How do they treat children? How do they treat people that are maybe kind of outsiders or maybe that are disabled? Do they have respect and honor for all people? Those are the kind of things we need to look at. And that's why it is so important to get to know a person and to observe them, even sometimes from afar, before you engage the relationship, because when they know there's interest, hi, how are you, and everything's good. But when you're away from them, they're a totally different person. And so we need to watch their past behavior, because that is the best indicator of their future behavior. Someone once joked, they says, before you're married, keep both eyes fully open. After you're married, keep both eyes partially closed. What that means is before you're married, you look at everything. Let the Holy Spirit guide you and show you red flags. I remember there were girls that I dated in college, and as I got in the relationship, it was like, something's not right here. This is not good. And so I broke off the relationship. And we need to be open to the red flags. A lot of times what happens, we like someone so much that, well, it's just a little thing, and the Holy Spirit is trying to say, hey, this is a problem. This is something to address. And so we need to listen to that still small voice of the Holy Spirit. When you're in a relationship, you want to make sure that you are taking time to be in God's presence. Sometimes it is so easy to get caught up in that relationship that our devotional life suffers. If our spiritual life is suffering because of the relationship, then that's not a healthy relationship, or we are unhealthy. And so we need to make sure we're taking time to listen to God, because God will speak to us and show us the flags that are there. Now, married couples, we need to keep our eyes half closed, okay? We can't be real nitpicky. I mean, yeah, I'm not saying you let unhealthy behavior take place, okay, or disrespect. And guys, that doesn't mean you can just leave your underwear and dirty socks all the time and your wife shouldn't say anything about it. No, be a man, be responsible. Or ladies, if that's you who does that, okay, be a woman, be responsible. But we need to make sure in marriage we don't develop a critical spirit, because sometimes we gloss things over when we're dating, and then we get married, and that really irritates me. And that just kind of grates on me, man. And we need to be giving and self-sacrificing and loving to our spouse. And we need to both honor each other. So, the first thing is to look at someone else's past behavior. What are they doing now? That will indicate the kind of husband or wife they will be in the future. That's all I'm going to say about finding the right person. Because I want to share with you a second focus in preparing for marriage, a focus that's really more important. And this second focus, if you're taking notes, is to become the right person instead of looking for the right person. We need to focus on becoming the right person instead of looking for the right person. And that's where I want to spend the bulk of our time this morning, is who does God want me to become? Let me put it this way. Are you the person who you are looking for is looking for? Are you the person who the person you're looking for is looking for? They're looking for someone kind, someone gentle, someone disciplined, someone responsible, someone sweet, someone caring and romantic. Are you becoming those things in your life? So many times we focus on finding Mr. and Mrs. Right, but we don't focus on becoming the right person. There are 6 steps to becoming the right person to marry. Number one, the first one is address your unresolved childhood issues or trauma from your past. Address your unresolved childhood issues or trauma from your past. When you come to the altar, you want to be a whole person. Last week we talked about that sex is whole body giving and whole body living and whole life living. Our whole life in marriage, we're committing our whole life to the other person. And so ourselves, we need to be a whole person when we enter marriage. There are really very few marriage problems. Many of the problems that couples have are problems that they had before they get married, and when they come into marriage, because they did not deal with them, they now have to work them out in the marriage relationship. Sometimes people have anger problems. They bring that in their marriage. Or they have spending problems. They have lust problems. They have insecurity and worth problems. They have intimacy problems. They have a hard time letting someone get close to them, maybe because someone took advantage of them in the past. Now they don't trust. Yet they want a relationship of closeness, but they can't commit. If you haven't dealt from the issues in your past, they can haunt you. Maybe your dad drank too much, or your mom had an affair, or one of your parents abandoned you, just walked out and left. Maybe your siblings were favored over you. And so you deal with this kind of the black sheep of the family syndrome, not really feeling that you measure up. Maybe you had an absentee father. Maybe he traveled a lot, or maybe he was home, but he was just so busy, never really took time with you. I know I've talked with people, and they says, I can't count on one hand how many times my dad played ball with me. And so sometimes there are these issues, and what happens, our spouse doesn't come home in time when they said they would for dinner, okay? And so when they walk in the door, instead of saying, honey, you know, I really feel it's disrespectful of you, when you don't call and let me know what's going on, you come home an hour late and you said you're going to be home here. It's disrespectful. Instead of dealing it with a calm and nice manner, we are just like, why didn't you call me? Huh? Man, blah, 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 blah. Don't you have a phone? You have a cell phone. There's no excuse for that. And you just blow up. When maybe you're just upset because your dad never came to your ballet recitals as a child. Seriously. That is what happens sometimes. And we carry over issues that we have from our parents, from our family, from people that have hurt us and wounded us. And then we take them out on our... And this is the thing. Sometimes when you're young, you can't attack your parents because that's disrespectful. And so we hold that issue, that bitterness or that hurt. And now our spouse, they're for game because they're not, we don't see them as towering above us. They're an equal, or maybe in some cases we treat them as being lower. And so now it's called transference. We take our anger in for our parent or for that person that hurt us, and we turn it out onto our spouse. So one of the biggest things we need to do is just to take time and get alone and be quiet before God and say, God, show me, is there anything in my life that I need to take care of? And that might even be for some of us marrieds today. We might have some issues that we haven't resolved. We've been married for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. And God wants us to resolve them. Are you comfortable with silence? Can you be alone with no noise? You see, there are some of us, because of the issues that we've went through in life, we don't like being quiet because then we have to deal with them. And so we constantly have noise. We're in the car, the radio's on. We come home, the television's on. We always have noise playing in the background. And even in our spiritual life, we're always the one that's praying and talking to God. Never are we quiet and waiting on Him. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is God. Les and Leslie Parrott, a couple that deals with marriages and in counseling and marriages, they says, if you attempt to build intimacy with a person before you have done the hard work of becoming a whole and healthy person, every relationship will become an attempt to complete the hole in your heart. You see, if we are not whole, we have holes. And a lot of times we're dating, we cover those holes up. But then in marriage, now that you're with them 24/7 every day, you can't cover them up anymore, and those holes are exposed. And so we need to be whole people. Now, some people say, well, Craig, that's a good reason why you live together before marriage. You live together so you get to know them and you see those holes. They say couples that live together before marriage have a greater chance of divorce than those that don't. Because what they're doing, they haven't made a commitment to each other. Also, as we learned last week, that is not God's plan. Sex is to be kept confined in the marriage. So, we need to be people that are focusing on Him. I want you to do something right now. Everyone just close your eyes. I want us to give us a Holy Spirit moment. I want us to wait quietly for 30 seconds. And I want you just to say, Holy Spirit, is there anything in my life, any hurt, any issue from my past that I need to begin to work and I need to begin to open up and release to you? Just wait on the Spirit. Let Him talk to you. If when you did that, something popped into mind, that's God sharing with you something that he wants you to begin to work through in your life. And I just encourage you, write it down. Maybe somewhere in your bulletin, I know it might be kind of private, just put it somewhere that no one sees. And just begin to work on that. Pray about it. If you want to talk about it, I'd love to talk with you. Call and we'll set up a time to talk about it. Because I realize that a lot of us, all of us have grown up in dysfunctional homes. Because sin makes us all dysfunctional. Some homes are more dysfunctional than others. And God wants to make us whole. And we become whole people, then we can have whole relationships. So I encourage you, begin to work on those things that the Holy Spirit brings to your mind. Let's look at the second key to becoming a whole person. The second key is to learn about marriage and being a godly spouse and begin now. Don't wait till you're married to begin to read the books on marriage, except the ones like the Act of Love by Tim LaHaye, okay? Because that deals with something that only married couples do, okay? But you need to learn about being a godly spouse and learn about God's plan for the marriage. Begin to read the Bible through with a slant for marriage. What does it say? You can go to BibleGateway.com and you can type and you can do a word search for husband, for wife, for marriage, for love. And you can begin to do a search to see what God says about that. You can look at like Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 5. Those are some chapters that hone in on marriage. But begin to study and become the person that the spouse, prepare for marriage that God wants you to be. We have a sheet out at the Information Center, and this is something we put together for our Edge class a few weeks ago. It's a resource list of a lot of different areas of discipleship, books you can read to grow in these areas. And on the back, near the bottom, there's a lot of books on marriage and parenting. I encourage you to pick one of these resources up, and there's a lot of great resources for you to begin to reading about marriage and study it on a biblical scale. And I was going to take some time and dive into this morning, but as I begin to study and realize how much God says about marriage, it's like, you know what? We're going to take that and move this whole point to next week. So next week we're going to deal with that because God has a lot to say about marriage, a lot that runs counter to what our culture has fed us about marriage. So we're going to look at that next week. So let's look at number three. The third step to becoming the right person to marry is get your life in balance. Get your life in balance. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many workaholics do we have here this morning? Well, some of you are raising your hands. All right, way to go. If we are out of balance in our life, we can have problems. We need to get our life in balance. If you look to your career, some of us, and I should say I'm a recovering workaholic, okay? I'm a recovering workaholic, and it is easy as a workaholic to get my worth and my value from what I do. And if I achieve, I feel good about myself. And I've had to learn that my worth doesn't come from what I do or what people think about me. My worth comes from I have a God in heaven, a heavenly Father who loves me, who gave his son and died for my sin. And that is where worth comes from. It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. I am God's child. And just as with my kids, there is nothing my kids can do that make them love me more, make me love them more or love them less. I love them even when they mess up and do bad, that God loves me the same. So many times in our worth, if we feel we're not producing or other people don't feel good about us, we feel bad about us. But when we realize that God loves us and our worth comes from him, that can help us. So if we look to worth, we look to our work, we look to other relationships with people to get our self-worth from. We look to our own personal accomplishments, being recognized in the community, looking to see how much possessions and how much money I acquire. And if I have more stuff, it makes me a person of worth. If I have a lot of clothes, then I'm important and valued and I feel fulfilled. If we are looking to other things for our worth and our fulfillment, our life is out of balance. God needs to be at the very top of our list and saying, this is where my worth and value come from. And so our life needs to be in balance. And again, I encourage you, get alone with God and be quiet. Turn the radio off. Turn the TV off. Turn off the iPod and just say, Lord, begin to talk to me where life is out of balance, where I'm not getting my worth from you. Because it may not be an issue of trauma or something, but I think many of us struggle with worth. I have talked to several people that have accomplished high in life, and most of us struggle with our sense of identity and our sense of importance. Our life needs to be in balance. This is what Isaiah 55 says. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Hey, how many like that without price? It's free. Man, we can take that in our society nowadays with how things are going up. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. God says, if you come to me, if you're looking for fulfillment in me, I will fill you. He says, everything else is empty. Quit trying to buy happiness from somewhere else. Come to me, and I give it freely. Run to Jesus, fall in love with him, and let him give you your sense of worth. That is how we become a person who is ready for marriage. Let's look at step number 4. So far we've looked at first, resolve or unresolved issues. Number 2, learn about marriage and being a godly spouse. Number 3, get balance. Number 4, break your bad habits. Break your bad habits. There's a lot of bad habits we can get into. Some of us, we go to college. We've got freedom. We get a credit card. Hey, I got free money. And you run up a $10,000, $15,000 debt, and all of a sudden it's not free anymore. I heard about one girl, she got a checkbook, she went to college, and she went and she just started writing checks, and she wrote checks and wrote checks, and she got a notice from the bank that she was overdrawn, and she got in big trouble. She says, well, I thought as long as I had checks, I had money in the account. No. You need money in the account. So parents, make sure you teach your kids when they get a checking account, just because there's checks doesn't mean it's money. You got to balance that baby, okay? And so do you have bad habits? Have you gotten into debt? If you are in debt, get out of debt. Before you get married, pay off your credit card bill, pay off your car. Now, I realize some of you might have school loans and maybe even a mortgage if you bought a place. Those are a couple that you probably can't pay off. But those are really the only two reasons to ever go in debt. Because hopefully if you make a wise purchase in real estate, it appreciates. You get an education, it helps you get a better job, so that pays off. You do want to not go in as you want to try to keep as little debt as you can. But all other forms of debt, you want to get out of debt. I tell guys before they get married, I ask, what's your job? Well, I don't have one. Oh, really? Well, how are you going to pay for a place to live? How are you going to buy food? How are you going to pay for car insurance and health insurance and all these different things? And we need to be able to provide for the person. So we need to make sure we can provide financially. We need good financial habits. We need to get out of debt. We need to eliminate time robbers from our lives. If you sit at home and you play video games 4 or 5 hours a night, you might have that kind of time now, but when you get married, your spouse isn't going to want you to play video games 4 or 5 hours a night. And as you get going further in your career, it becomes busier, you get a promotion, you have more responsibility, you have a few kids, and that takes time away. I guarantee you, the more you go on in marriage, if you have bad habits in television or video games, that will begin to eat away your relationship. So break your bad habits. If you're running to the bars and hanging out with the guys 5 nights a week, your spouse isn't going to like it when they're hanging with the guys 5 nights a week, or if she's hanging with the girls 5 nights a week. Break the bad habits now. Begin to become a healthy person, a whole person, because if you try to wait until marriage, you're not going to want to do it. Develop good habits in your life. Don't let things waste your time. Learn responsibility and discipline before you're married, not after you're married. Amen? Amen. Let's look at number five. Number five, spend time with people who are going the same direction as you are. Spend time with people going the same direction as you are. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." Evil company corrupts good habits. Evaluate your existing relationships right now. Who do you hang out with? Now, the Bible has said we are to be salt and light. We are to be witnesses to the lost. But I want to ask, who do you hang out with? Who are your closest relationships? Because if we're spending all of our time with unbelievers and they are the main ones we're hanging with, evil company will corrupt good habits. We need to be in relationships with people that are positive, with people that are going the same direction, that have a fire for God. And so if I am close with my brothers, and this goes for married people, if I am in close relationships with guys in the church and we're iron sharpening iron and we're encouraging each other and I've got close relationships and we're helping each other grow in the faith, then that is going to help me in my marriage. And so who are you close to? Who do you hang out with? Who do you spend the bulk of your time to? It's good for us to be friends of sinners, like Jesus was, to build relationship with them. That's how they come into the kingdom. But our closest friends, our bosom buddies, you might say, should be people that are on fire for God. Who are our close relationships? I want to spend time with those that are going in the same direction. How many have ever worked with a fireplace before? And you've had a poker, one of those, a fireplace poker. If you take that poker and you stick it in the fire and you set it there and you leave it there, you come back an hour later, what happens to the poker? It's hot. It is really hot. What happens if you take it out of the fire and you go and you set it in the corner? It becomes cold. Friends, you and I are like fireplace pokers. And if we are in a crowd of people that are hot and on fire with Jesus, that helps us be hot and on fire. But you stick us in a crowd of people that are not on fire for Jesus, and it hurts us. Solomon's heart was led astray because of all the pagan wives he married that didn't have a heart for God, and their ungodliness cooled his fire for God. Who we hang with determines the heat of our relationship with Jesus Christ. So spend time with people who are going in the same direction. Don't date unbelievers. I'm going to say that again. Don't date unbelievers. I want you to repeat that with me. Don't date unbelievers. We got our kids' church here today. Kids, don't date non-Christians. Samson dated a non-Christian. He became bald, his eyes were poked out, and he died. Okay? That might not happen to you, but hey, dating a non-Christian keeps you from fulfilling the destiny God has for your life. So kids, don't date non-Christians. Don't go missionary dating. Instead, you know what you do? You're in a group of people that are guys and girls. You get the good, hot Christian guys and say, "You need to talk to this guy," and let them do the missionary work. Yeah, they don't date them. They do the missionary work, okay? Be very careful about spending time. I was a youth pastor for 4 years when I first started ministry. And there was a young man in our youth group that had a call to be a missionary. We lived in Salt Lake City, Utah, and he wanted to go to prom with a girl who was part of the predominant religion out there. And his parents let him go to prom, and they didn't think it would be that big of a deal, but something happened where they connected, and they spent the rest of the summer together and got really close. And before they graduated, she was with child and she had a baby, and they got married, and then it didn't work out and they got divorced, and he's not really serving God today. He had a fire for God. But there was this cute little girl, and it's not that big a deal. It's just one date. Friends, it is a big deal. Evil company corrupts good habits. Do not be unequally yoked. If you're in a relationship that is unequally yoked, break it today. Now, if you are married and you are unequally yoked, no, you don't break that. God's not for that. We're going to talk about God's design for marriage next week. I'm going to share more about that. But it's vitally important. Who are the close people? Hang with people that are going in the same direction after God with you. The last thing, I would like our worship team to come this morning as we wrap this up. The final step to becoming a person that's ready to marry is to set up accountability networks in your life right now. Set up accountability networks. Are there people that they can ask you at any time, hey, how are you doing in this area of your life, in your thought life, in what you're watching, in what you're listening to, in the kind of things, and how do you handle the things that pop up on the computer screen? Do you have someone that you are open and you're asking them the tough questions and they're asking you the tough questions? Questions dealing with finance, with relationships, with your spiritual walk with God? Proverbs says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. God never intended us as Christians to live the Christian life alone. No one is an island. God wants us to be in close relationship together, so I make you stronger and you make me stronger. Chuck Swindoll had a list of questions that, when he was a pastor, that he gave his staff every week, and they talked about these. These were the questions. Have you read God's word consistently? How many days? How long? Why not? What has God been teaching you? Describe your prayers for yourself, for others, etc., and how your relationship with Christ is evolving and growing. Have you shared with your faith with someone? Who did you influence for Christ this past week? How's it going with your spouse? Your time? Have you had meaningful conversation? Intimacy? What are the disappointments and irritations you're dealing with? How is his or her relationship with Christ? How are your children? Are you giving them encouragement? Have you spent both quantity and quality time? Are you teaching them spiritual principles at home? Integrity. Have you told any half-truths or outright lies? Putting yourself in a better light to those around you. Is the visible you and the real you consistent? In your finances, have you been completely above reproach in all of your financial dealings this week? Have you taken anything that is not yours? Have you been tithing? For your priorities, have you been majoring on the majors instead of only investing mainly on the minors? Are your priorities in right order? Purity. Have you had any flirtatious or lustful attitudes? Tempting thoughts. Have you exposed yourself to any explicit material this week? Have you been with a woman this week in a way that was inappropriate or could have looked to others as if you were using poor judgment? And then the last question, have you just lied to me? We need brothers for brothers and sisters for sisters that we're coming along together and we're asking each other the tough questions to help keep each other pure, to be connected, to grow. What's God showing in your life? How are things really going? So many times when we're going through issues, we isolate ourselves and we tell no one else about it. The Bible says he who isolates himself seeks his own good. That's why Paul said, confess your sins to one another. Have accountable relationships. Man, this is where I'm struggling, Ashley. This is where I'm struggling, Harvey. I'm having problems here, John. And as we begin to open our lives and say, this is where I need help, we can pray for and encourage and pour into each other. We need it as marrieds. And we need it as singles. We need it in the body of Christ. We're going to have that online this week on our website. If you want the list of accountability questions, you can go ahead and pick those up later this week. But this morning, I'd like us to bow our heads and close our eyes as we move to a time to close. And as you look at your life right now, whether you're single, whether you're married, I want to just ask you this morning, how are you doing? That unresolved issue that the Holy Spirit laid His finger on, are you willing to deal with that in your life? Are you willing to let go of that hurt? Those bad habits? Are you willing to say, you know what? It's time for me to make that a thing of the past. Time for me to get my spending, my finances, my shopping under control. Time to get my thought life under control. What I'm watching, what I'm viewing. Are you balanced in your time? The people you're closely associating with and just hanging out with, are they going after God or are they pulling you down? Is there anyone you're accountable to? These are the things God wants to build into us to make us the right people for our spouse to be, for our spouse who is, for our children, and for each other in the body of Christ.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.